This morning's readings are taken from two of the Gospels, Luke 2, verses 1 to 7, which you'll find on page 832 of the Pew Bible, followed by John 19, beginning in verse 25, which you'll find on page 882. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went down to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And then moving on to John. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, help us to hear your word, to understand your word, and then in your strength to live your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Some years ago, a school inspector, a traditional HMI, visited a school in downtown Sheffield. He came across a rather nervous little boy sitting in the corner of the classroom, and he said to him, "May I look at your workbook?" The boy nodded, and the inspector said, "This looks interesting. Did you write it all by yourself?" And the boy nodded again. "Well," said the inspector, "will you read it to me?" And the boy did so. "Yesterday, yesterday, yesterday, sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. Today, 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 promise, promise, promise. Tomorrow, 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 love, love, love." "What a wonderful little poem," said the inspector. And the boy thought for a while. He stared up at the visitor with large, sad eyes, and he said, "Sir, they're my spelling corrections." It is so easy in life to draw the wrong conclusions, even about our subject today, the next part of the Apostles' Creed. Let's start with the Creed before moving on to a more Mothering Sunday subject. This is another of those sermons in two halves, if not four quarters. Let's start with the Creed. If you want to watch it, look at it. It's on our order of service under Affirmation of Faith. And the bit we're studying today is, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." That's as far as we go this morning. Now then, how does it start? "I believe." Now that seems straightforward enough. Or is it? Back in the 1960s, I was chaplain of Nottingham General Hospital. And I remember to this day approaching the bed of a quite elderly and quite seriously ill man. But before I could open my mouth, he said to me, "Good morning, chaplain. Do you do your work because you're paid to do it, or because you believe in God?" Bit of a conversation stopper. But I could see where he was coming from. He wanted to have dealings with somebody who was motivated by faith and not by finance. The outcome was he allowed me to speak with him. Good for him, wanting to make sure I passed his faith test. I believe. That's how this part of the creed begins. I believe. I believe. Not the person sitting next to you, or behind you, or in front of you. I believe. You will know, of course, that I is a personal pronoun. And personal pronouns are very important within the Christian faith. It was Martin Luther who said that personal pronouns are those little words which hook us in all our weakness to God in all his strength. Those little words, I, my, me. Paul wrote one day, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." And today, I believe in Jesus Christ. Some other creeds, we heard about this a fortnight ago when John was preaching. Other creeds begin with the word "we." We believe. Yes, but "we" is still a personal pronoun. And if we mean business as a Christian, we cannot duck out of the implications of what it means to us individually, personally. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We move on. Jesus Christ. Jesus is his given name. Remember the angel Gabriel to Mary, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and you will name him Jesus. Jesus. Of course, there were lots of boys and men in those days called Jesus, a fairly common name. Lots of Jesuses, but only one Christ. The word means anointed, set apart, appointed by God, in this case to be the Savior of the world. We say, of course, Jesus Christ. When you say Jesus Christ, it's good to think Jesus the Christ. That's who he was, the Savior. But both Jesus and Christ, of course, are precious words, precious names, sadly used these days quite as much blasphemously as religiously, out in the street, on television. Jeremy Clarkson was in the news a lot last week, and it was at the end of one of his Top Gear programs, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that in the space of 5 seconds, not he himself, but two of his sidekicks, one said, "Jesus," and the other said, "Christ," in response to a situation in the studio. Quite gratuitously, quite unnecessarily, quite blasphemously, and even to me watching at home, quite embarrassingly. But then I thought, when did I, Peter Coombs, last out in the street, at the shops, wherever, when last did I use one of those two words, Jesus or Christ? meaningfully, helpfully, encouragingly, challengingly. Perhaps I'm not the one to throw stones at others. Have you noticed how often the Archbishop of Canterbury brings the name of Jesus or Jesus Christ into his conversations, interviews, not just his sermons? Good for him. For Jesus, Jesus Christ stands at the heart of our faith. An example to emulate. If we can say from the heart, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And what this part of the creed does is to spell out unambiguously that Jesus was both man and God, both human and divine. Now that fact is true, and that fact is important, both in his living and in his dying. In his living, those 33 years in Palestine, how good it is that he knows all about our problems, our temptations, our hopes and our fears, because he was a man, a human being himself, living for us. So that when we pray to him, when we're in trouble, he knows all about human troubles, problems, for he is man. He, in his man, both in his living and in his dying, he died as a man. Of course he did. We know the story. And therefore fully qualified to die in our place. We are humankind as well on the cross. But also he died as God, so that we know today that his sacrifice has an eternal and everlasting significance. A death made for all people at all time, in all places, everywhere. For he was God. As the old hymn goes, Alleluia, what a Savior. But I'm getting on to next week's subject, and I mustn't do that. Back to today. Let me change gear. Let's move on to the second part of this sermon. Some thoughts about mothering, this Mothering Sunday. Let me put my cards on the table and say to you quite categorically, I have never been a mother. But I do mothering. I have done mothering most of my life. We can all do mothering. Male or female, old or young. And how do I know that? And how do I know that we should be mothering, do mothering? Because of our second little reading. You heard it just now, Jesus on the cross. Jesus with literally just a few minutes left to live. And what does he do? What is clearly important to him on his heart and mind? Answer: he cares for the future welfare of his mother Mary. He sets in process the process of mothering. What does he do? What does he say? I remind you, When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. On the cross, before Jesus entrusted himself to his Father, he entrusts his mother to the disciple John. In other words, he gives John the beloved disciple, the role, the task of mothering. Caring, protecting, comforting, helping, watching over, fetching, carrying, feeding, and others. And the more I think about it, you can't actually confine mothering just to family relationships, the family circle. It's got to be wider than that. Last week on television, I heard the senior member of the armed forces in Afghanistan, a brigadier, speak about his role there and the role of the troops over the previous 13 years. And as that brigadier spoke, believe it or not, the word that kept coming to me was mothering. The armed forces and their role in conflict is quite as much about supporting as shooting. They're there to encourage peacekeeping, comforting the injured and the bereaved, giving time and energy to the locals, that sort of thing. And if that's a kind of mothering, and I think it is, that makes mothering not soft and simple and sissy, but something that needs strength and sacrifice and courage and dedication. And I suspect that all kinds of mothering, even the traditional sort, makes those kind of demands on mums. Strength, sacrifice, courage, dedication. For the next 2 or 3 minutes, my last 2 or 3 minutes of this sermon, I want, if I may, to change gear, still on the same subject. For it could be, it just could be, that here in church this morning is somebody here on a Mothering Sunday service, actually a young mum. I look round, possibly in vain, but it could be. I need you to prepare for that eventuality. If not a young mum, certainly a mum with young children. And you may be wondering what I can say about that subject with my lack of qualification. I've done a bit of thinking last week, and I consulted a young mum. Not so young, but a mum with young children. And the result of my thinking is this. I would say it has never been more difficult to bring up children than now. Never more difficult. Let me be specific. I mean, with all the gadgets and gizmos available to children, today available from a very early age, which means that children could be under influences and temptations quite beyond the reach of their parents. And certainly quite beyond the reach and the understanding of grandparents and great-grandparents as well. As this young mum I talked with last week put it, she said, "It's a bit like your children going through a kind of lion, witch, and wardrobe experience. That's good. They can be living in a far different world from yours, not very far away from you, but uninhabited by you. They're somewhere else. What then? This same young mum said to me that she came across a certain statement, I'll read it, which helped her to put things in perspective. And she gave it to me for use this morning. And here we are, as I finish, appropriately for today, it comes over as a kind of creed, a mother's creed. My promise to my children is this: I am not your friend, I am your mother. I will stalk you, rage at you, lecture you, drive you insane, be your worst nightmare. I will hunt you like a bloodhound when needed. Why? Because I love you. When you understand that, you will know that you are on the way to becoming yourself a responsible person. You will never find someone who loves, prays, cares, and worries about you more than I do. This is my trust. A mother's creed, which I find moving and helpful, and I shared it with you today. As I finish, we keep silent, please, for reflection and prayer on this Mothering Sunday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.